And so I put a crust or two in my pocket, left behind all weapons but my dagger, and took to the woods in the grey morning. I'd been plugging away for many hours when there came a sound that I'd never heard the like of in my born days. Hey, I won't forget that. The whole air was full of it. Loud as thunder, but far longer. Cool and sweet as music over water, but strong enough to shake the woods. And I said to myself, if that's not the horn, call me a rabbit. And a moment later, I wondered why he hadn't blown it sooner.
What time was it?
Between 9 and 10 of the clock.
Just when we were at the railway station.
Yeah.
Yes, of course. Oh, please go on.
Well, as I was saying, I wondered, but I went on as hard as I could pelt. I kept on all night. And then, when it was half light this morning, as if I'd no more sense than a giant, I risked a shortcut across open country to cut off a big loop of the river and was caught. Not by the army, but by a pompous old fool who has charge of a little castle, which is Miraz's last stronghold towards the coast. I needn't tell you that they got no true tale out of me. I was a dwarf, and that was enough. But lobsters and lollipops, it is a good thing the steward was a pompous fool. Anyone else would have run me through there and then, but nothing would do for him short of a grand execution, sending me down to the ghosts in the full ceremonial way. And then this young lady does her bit of archery. And it was pretty shooting, let me tell you.
Thank you.
And here we are. And without my armour, for of course they took that.
So it was your horn, Sue, that dragged us all off that seat on the platform yesterday. I can hardly believe it, yet it all fits in.
Yes, it does.
I don't know why you shouldn't believe it, if you believe in magic at all. Aren't there lots of stories about magic forcing people out of one place and into another?
Yes.
We had to come, just like that.
I suppose what makes one feel so queer is that in the stories, it's always someone in our world who does the calling.
Golly, it's a bit uncomfortable to know that we can be whistled for just like that. It's worse than what Father says about living at the mercy of the telephone.
But we want to be here, don't we? If Aslan wants us.
Yes.
Meanwhile, what are we to do? I suppose I'd better go back to King Caspian and tell him no help has come.
No help? But it has worked, and here we are.
Yes, to be sure. I see that.
What's wrong? Don't you understand who we are?
I suppose you are the four children out of the old stories, and I'm very glad to meet you, of course, but no offence?
Oh, do get on and say whatever you're going to say.
Well, then, you know, the King and Truffle Hunter and Dr. Cornelius are expecting, well, if you see what I mean, help. To put it another way, I think they'd been imagining you as great warriors. As it is, we're awfully fond of children and all that, but just at the moment, in the middle of a war. But I'm sure you understand.
You mean you think we're no good?
Now, pray, don't be offended. I assure you, my dear little friends...
Little from you is really a bit too much. I suppose you don't believe we won the Battle of Baruna. Well, you can say what you want about me, because I know...
Wait! Wait. There's no good losing our tempers. Let's fit him out with fresh armour and fit ourselves out from the treasure chamber.
I don't quite see the point.
The point is to show our dear little friend that there's more to us than meets the eye.
I'll say there's more to you than meets the eye. A copper helmet, gold on the hilt of a sword. I've never seen, much less worn, such wealth in all my life. It would never do to let Nicobrick see this, never.
You're comfortable then, the mail? Helmet and sword suit you.
Oh, I should say so.
How about you, Ed? Are you satisfied with your sword and shield?
Yes, Peter.
I'm still happy to be the one
no,
to...
No, Peter. I'll do it.
Do what? What are you two talking about?
Well, kids like us don't often have a chance of meeting a great warrior like you. Would you have a fencing match with me?
What?
It would be frightfully decent.
But, lad, these swords are sharp.
I know, but I'll never get anywhere near you. And you'll be quite clever enough to disarm me without doing me any damage.
It's a dangerous game. But since you make such a point of it, I'll try a pass or two.
All right. Begin.
Both swords were out in a moment, and the three others jumped off the dais and stood watching. It was well worth it. It was not like the silly fighting you see with broadswords on the stage. It was not even like the rapier fighting, which you sometimes see rather better done. This was real broadsword fighting. I don't think Edmund would have had a chance against Trumpkin if he fought 24 hours earlier. But the air of Narnia had been working upon him ever since they arrived on the island. And all his old battles came back to him, and his arms and fingers remembered their old skill. He was King Edmund once more. And then, so quickly that no one could quite see how it happened, Edmund flashed his sword round with a peculiar twist. The dwarf's sword flew out of his grip, and Trumpkin cried out.
Oh, kettles and cobblestone. Oh,
not hurt, I hope.
Oh, I see the point. You know a trick I never learned.
That's true. Oh. The best swordsman in the world may be disarmed by a trick that's new to him.
I think it's only fair to give Trumpkin a chance at something else.
Yes.
Will you have a shooting match with my sister?
A what?
There are no tricks in archery, you know.
Ah, you're jokers, you are. I begin to see. As if I didn't know how she can shoot after what happened this morning. All the same, I'll have a try.
What's to be the target, Susan?
I think that apple.
Where?
Hanging over the wall on the branch.
You mean the yellow one near the middle of the arch?
No, not that. The red one up above, over the battlement.
What? It looks more like a cherry than an apple. But we'll have a go. You first.
No, after you. I insist.
Oh, well, you ought to be warned. I'm a famous bowman among my people.
Excellent shot.
I missed the apple.
Only by a fraction, I'm sure. The apple shook as the arrow passed by. Sue?
All right, Peter. Here goes.
Good luck, Susan. Come on. Can
you
do it? Hooray!
Well done, Susan.
Well done, Sue.
Quite a shot.
Oh, it wasn't really any better than yours. I think there was a tiny breath of wind as you shot.
No, there wasn't. Don't tell me. I know when I'm fairly beaten. I won't even say that the scar of my last wound catches me a bit when I get my arm well back.
Are you wounded?
Well.
Do let me look.
It's not a sight for little girls.
Be still for a moment.
Oh, I suppose you're as likely to be a great surgeon as your brother was to be a great swordsman, or your sister to be a great archer. Ow.
Oh, poor Trumpkin. It is a horrid cut.
Honestly, it's not so bad. A mere scrape from one of the battles against King Miraz.
Allow me to put just a drop of this cordial on.
The what?
There. Is that better?
Hello? Hey? What have you done? Giants and junipers! It's cured! It's as good as new! Oh, well, I've made as big a fool of myself as ever a dwarf did. No offence, I hope.
None taken.
My humble duty to your Majesty's all. Humble duty. And thanks for my life, my cure, my breakfast, and my lesson.
It's quite all right. And now, if you've really decided to believe in us...
Oh, I have.
It's clear what we have to do. We must join King Caspian at once.
The sooner the better. My being such a fool has already wasted about an hour.
Right. It's about 2 days' journey the way you came to the Hill of the Stone Table. What you call Aslan's